The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you. Jesus began to make it clear to his disciples that he was destined to go to Jerusalem and suffer grievously at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, to be put to death and to be raised up on the third day. Then, taking him aside, Peter started to remonstrate with him. "Heaven preserve you, Lord," he said. "This must not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle in my path, because the way you think is not God's way, but man's." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to be a follower of mine, let him renounce himself and take up his cross and follow me. For anyone who wants to save his life will lose it, but anyone who loses his life for my sake will find it. What then will a man gain if he wins the whole world and ruins his life? Or what is a man to offer in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels. When he does, he will reward each one according to his behavior." The Gospel of the Lord. Pride and Prejudice, of course, is a well-known novel of Jane Austen that you may have seen, you may have read, seen the TV series, or seen the film. But of course, it's really about the romance of Mr. Darcy and Elizabeth Bennet. And he's immensely wealthy. She has no fortune. But Elizabeth is attractive and outspoken, and doesn't feel inferior to those of great wealth. Mr. Darcy himself, however, early in the novel, is proud and immensely aware of his high social status. And when he first proposes marriage to Elizabeth, he's so sure that he's going to be accepted with this proposal that he spends a lot of his time telling her how much he's lowering himself in proposing to her, and how because of her social inferiority, he has tried not hard to be in love with her. That pride and that seduction that Jeremiah talked about. But her refusal of him prompts him to rethink his whole attitude to life and become less selfish. And so you find a couple of hundred pages later that Elizabeth is now in love with this new, kinder, less snobbish Mr. Darcy, a transformation that she's had a hand in bringing about, and she gladly accepts his second proposal. In a way, it's a novel about how to love people well and how to love people badly, and the title shows that loving people well is about setting aside both your pride and your prejudice, taking people on their real merits, not on their bank accounts. So Jeremiah, in the first reading, is bemoaning his fate because he's saying the Lord has seduced him, a bit like Mr. Darcy, you see. His first proposal, Jeremiah states his love, but he's begrudging. He's blaming God for bringing him to derision and social exclusion and all those things on him. And it's a sort of a negative acknowledgement of the burning love he has for the Lord. Because he has. The Lord has called him. He has that love for the Lord, but he's a bit angry and cross about it, a bit like Jonah stomping out of Nineveh because the people believe it. I told you that's what he'd do. And Jeremiah's feeling very much like that. Which is then picked up in St. Paul in his second reading, where he gives a warning, instructs his readers not to follow the ways of this world with its obsession with wealth and status, but offering yourself to God and to live differently. And so it's that changing our pride and our prejudice for whatever the Lord is asking of us. Peter had to face that as well. If you think of Peter, in the last three or four Sundays we've had him, man of little faith, is commended last week for his faith, and now, get behind me, Satan. And that's how our life can be sometimes, trying to follow the gospel, trying to follow the Lord. Because Jesus is showing us that different way, where there's no room for pride and there's no room for prejudice. Jesus is foretelling his death and his resurrection, and there's no pride in being nailed to the cross, and there's no prejudice either against anyone else. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Peter's response seems initially to be of a love for Jesus. Lord, this mustn't happen to you. We can't let this happen to you. In the same way that Jeremiah said, you've seduced me, Lord, and you know this mustn't be right. I can't bear all this. And it's a natural response we all have if we're faced with suffering and of those that we love, that are part of, we want to spare them that. But Jesus talks of an even greater love. His death will be the ultimate love, and for all of us. And Peter, with his pride and his prejudice, mustn't get in the way. So Jesus challenges Peter and their disciples to love to a higher degree, which is following that taking up of the cross, living selflessly and by following him. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Whatever suffering that may entail. And that's why that opening hymn was quite good. Will you kiss the leper keen? Touch those that are untouchable, as it were, you know. And so that challenge is there for every Christian, always. And it's always a difficult challenge to take on. Christ makes it clear that it will be worth it in the end when he comes in glory. But the meanwhile, there's a lot going on. So, in a way, today's readings are showing us a different ways of loving God, as it were, getting rid of that pride, that prejudice. Jeremiah is almost grudging, which is no way to love the Lord, grudgingly. His words seem more like a moan than a declaration of love. And maybe we should think about what we can be like with those that are nearest to us, those that we do love, our families, our friends, our husband, our wife, our, you know, whatever relationship it is, people that we're very dear to. Do we sometimes moan and groan about all that situation? What Jeremiah found was that his following the Lord didn't mean that he became a social outcast and suffered greatly for his unpopular prophecies that he had to speak about Jerusalem. But Jeremiah shows that those who love God are called to be willing, as it were, to go that path, to take up that cross, which it was for Jeremiah, crossing his own will out, because he didn't want to do all that, and proclaiming what the Lord's asking. Just in the same way that St. Paul said in that second reading, change your ways, live according to the new faith that you've taken on, not the ways of the world. So it's a call to change fundamentally, it really, in living God's love in the world. And that's why Jesus says, if you wish to follow me, then it's that crossing ourselves I out. I'm ever taking you to the image because it's there always before us. In a fortnight's time, we shall have the Feast of the Holy Cross on a Sunday. It reminds us again of that same thing. But always see it as the upright of the eye. And I'm wanting my way, and that's mine, and you know, and it's no one else. And Jesus crosses it out. Or as I reminded somebody yesterday in another context, sometimes when you're looking up, and it's good the cross is high and lifted up. You would lift, he said, when I'm lifted up, opening I said, when you are lifted on high. When we, because you've got to look from the bottom to go up, as you go up, the arms open wide to embrace others. And there's no room for our pride or our prejudice in what we've been asked to with others. A week ago, Bishop Mark Davis of Shrewsbury was speaking at the Youth 2000 conference in Walsingham, and he challenged the Youth 2000 there to be witnesses, he said, along every road of life. I thought what he said was so good. We cannot forget this summer what the answer to the question Jesus posed last week, who do you say I am, for those Christians in the Middle East who have been forced either to deny that's who he said he was and convert to Islam, pay a huge sum which they could none of them afford, or face exile or death. And he said, we call them martyrs, witnesses standing up for the truth as we know it in Jesus. Then he went on, we can't compare, he was speaking in England, you know, us here, what is asked of heroism of them. But he said, there's a quieter martyrdom increasingly being asked of us in the West. In every road of life, in education, in medicine, in industry, in law, in politics, in marriage, in family life, in priesthood, in religious life. The question is, if we've said yes to last week's, who do you say I am? Yes, you are the Christ. Are we ready to take up our cross and follow him?